Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2013. Lecture 16, delivered on October 21, 2013. The title of this lecture is Component Costs of Capital.
Today, components of the cost of capital. This is a very short lecture. This leads into the lecture on Wednesday and sort of just a little bit of a staging for it. Component costs of capital. Now, there are different ways that a company can generate funds, and these are the ones that are the most important. One, two, three, four. Now, as far as equity goes, a company can bring together money in one of two ways from owners. One way that it can bring in equity funds is by selling common stock. That's a way to bring money into the company. This is called externally generated equity. The other way is the old-fashioned way, is to earn money, essentially through your operations. And I'll put that like net income, retained earnings, or whatever, however, new retained earnings. This is called internally generated equity. In other words, you're actually generating with the company's resources money for new things to do. Now remember that money can end up being paid as dividends, or it can be plowed back in. So when we're talking about money for the company, this would be the plowback money from your net income. In other words, your net income minus your dividends. Money for company projects. Those are the two ways that you can pull in equity money. There's a third way too, and I'm going to put it down here, but I'm not going to require, we won't do any problems that have it in it. There's also, you can sell preferred stock. But I'm adding that as an aside because it's really not something that I'm interested in. Although companies have kind of do preferred stock, and I'm seeing more of it now than I did a few years ago, it's still not a dominant way to bring in money to a company. Now, debt is the other way. And that is issuing securities to borrow money. The problem with debt is that when you are borrowing money, it starts to cost more the more you borrow. So, with debt, there are tiers of cost. A bank might say, well, we'll lend you $500,000 at 6%, but if you need more than $500,000, then the money you borrow above that will cost you 8% or something like that. So in other words, debt has different tiers. There is the cheap debt, And then there's more expensive debt if you borrow more than a certain amount, because the bank is figuring, okay, you could default because you're borrowing more money. That's exposing you to more risk. And so we're going to charge you more money, because charge you more interest, because it's riskier for us to lend you this extra $1 million than it was to lend you the first million or something like that. So here's the deal. Debt is easier to take on, but it puts you at risk of default, because every time you borrow money, you might not be able to pay it back. Equity costs more because equity owners are going to expect to be paid more because they're taking greater risk themselves by buying your stock. Because remember, these stockholders have the residual claim. So they'll want a bigger return. The debt will be cheaper for two reasons. One of those is banks and other lenders have the prior claim, so they are not going to ask as much. So they will not require as, they will not require as high a return as the equity investors would. So whereas your tiers of capital, the cost of your first tier of capital might be 6%, and your second tier of capital, say if you borrow more than a certain amount, the bank says, well, you have to pay us 9%. Over here, you might see some pretty expensive return. Equity investors might expect 18, 20, 25%. So it gets expensive doing this. This kind of debt, which we designate with a cost case of S, I'm just giving you some numbers here. Maybe about 18%. Selling stock, new stock to raise money, because the brokerage house is going to expect to get some money before you get yours out of the common stock offering, that might end up costing you maybe 22%. Very expensive money. So now we have this tapestry of all these costs. Well, why would you ever sell equity if it costs so much and debt costs so little over here? Well, the reason is because if you need too much money, the banks will just keep ratcheting up the interest rate until it'll get cost more to borrow than it would to sell stock. So here we go. Oh, and there's always one other thing, too. Interest on debt is tax deductible. So you really don't pay case of D1 or case of D2 or any of the others. You pay case of D1 after tax, which is case of D1 that the bank charges you times 1 minus your tax rate. In case of D2, because you always get to write off your interest rate against your taxable income, these costs are even lower than they were before. So, the component costs of capital
are these: debt will be K(d)(1) after tax, and then K(d)(2) after tax. Some banks would say, all right, after $5 million, we're going to jack it up again. So you're going to have a whole string of these. We'll never go more than two of these. And equity, which will be K(s) for the money that you generate from operations. And if you run through that, you sell more stock at this cost. That's the component cost of capital. Overall, the cost of capital at first, the cost of capital will be the weight of debt in your capital structure times K(d)(1) plus the weight of equity in your capital structure times the income that you've generated that you can use for operations. And then the next thing you'll do is you'll have to go to the next level of debt. If you need more money, you'll borrow at the higher cost rate from the banks and burn up the rest of your income, the money that you have for operations. And finally, in the worst case scenario, where you still need money for new projects, you'll be borrowing expensive money from the banks, and you'll issue new stock at the worst at the higher cost. So these are the three costs of capital. Now these W's, WD, is the cost is the weight of debt in your capital structure, like 40% or something like that. And the weight W(e) is the weight of equity in capital structure. Now, in the next lecture, what I'll do is show you how to calculate these.
What's the
KDZ? KD what?
KDZ.
Z. Where's the Z? Here?
Oh, two. My bad.
S, oh, KD, that's a 2, for God's sake.
And the third one is KD3 and not KD2.
No. See, the first amount of money that you're going to use, you'll use the cheap borrowing from the bank and money from income from your operations, your internally generated equity. If you still need money, you go back to the bank and say, okay, we've got to have to borrow at a higher rate, so we're going to have borrow at the more expensive cost. But we're still got money from operations. Because remember, this money is still going to be cheaper than this. But then, if we still need money, we've burned up all of our net income that we had to reinvest in the company and projects. Well, then we're going to have to borrow, issue new common stock. So that will be the case of N. Let me show you the example. Watch. Here's how it works. And I'm just going to use the numbers that I did before. See these numbers here? I'll show you how to calculate all that in the next lecture. But right now, the first cost of capital, cost of capital 1, will be, well, as a matter of fact, let me tell you the term. Your first marginal cost of capital is the weight of debt times the cost of after tax of debt 1 plus the weight of equity times the cost of new stock. Your marginal cost of capital 2, if you still need money, then you're going to go back to the bank and you're going to say, okay, I need money and I'll pay the higher interest rate, but remember we do it after taxes, plus the weight of equity. We're still got some money from in the bank from operations last year. And then finally, if you still need money, well, okay, we're borrowing money from the bank at the higher rate. We can get as much of that as we want, at least we hope. But now we're going to have to sell new common stock to get more money. So I've given you K sub S is 18%. New common equity is 22% cost to us. Now, our costs of debt are 6% and 9%. And let's say that this corporation is in the 25% tax bracket. So what we do is this. Okay. The weight, and let's say this company is 40% debt and 60% equity. So here's what we do. Just set it up. Your weight of debt is 0.40. Your weight of equity is 0.60. Your after-tax cost of the first round of debt is going to be 6% times 1 minus 0.25, your tax rate. What does that come out to be? Second quit. 6 times 0.75 and times 4.5%. Your cost after tax of your second round of debt is going to be 9% times 1 minus 0.25, which is 6.75%, I hope. Your cost of internally generated equity, I just wrote that down as 22%. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 18% for that. And I'll show you the calculations, how you get this in the next lecture. Probably go back through some of this then too. 22%. Okay, so now we can figure out. When the company first starts needing money, using money, for its new operations, projects, and all of that, its marginal cost of capital, one, is 0.40 times 4.5% plus 0.60 times 6.75%. Its marginal cost of capital, two, is 40% debt, but now it's going to have to borrow at the higher after-tax cost rate of 6.75%. But it's 0.60 equity. Oh, I'm sorry, I screwed that up. That's not 6.75, that is 18%. Marginal cost of capital, 1. 0.40 times 4.5% plus 0.60 times 18%. Marginal cost of capital, 2. We are now using so much money that we have to go to the bank and borrow money that they'll charge us 6.75% after tax for. So the marginal cost of capital, 2, is 0.40 times 6.75% plus 0.60. We've still got money from our net income at 18%. So that's what we put there. But finally, if we still are needing money for projects that we've got on the table, the marginal cost of capital 3, MCC sub 3, is 0.40. We're borrowing money from the bank at the 6.75% after-tax rate. And now, we no longer have any more net income we can use to spend, so we have to go and sell common stock, which is going to cost 22%. So ultimately, what's going to happen here is that our cost of doing projects, using money, getting money to do projects, is going to ratchet up. The first marginal cost of capital will be 0.4 times 4.5
plus 0.6 times 18. What did I do wrong there? Clear. 0.4 times 4.5 plus 0.6 times 18.
So the first money, first projects that we do when we're borrowing cheap from the banks and we're using money that we've earned from operations, that money is going to cost us 12.6%. But if we keep needing money, the second round is going to cost us 0.4 times 6.75 because we're borrowing more expensive money. But fortunately, we still got money from operations, 0.6 times 18. So now, the money that we're using for our new projects and everything is 13.5%. So in other words, the cost of our money, the cost of doing projects, has jumped on us. From down here at 12.6% to up here at 13.5%. But if we keep needing money, if we keep having great ideas for new projects, eventually we're going to be borrowing money from the banks and from investors, lending investors, at 6.75%. And we're going to have to issue new common stock, but the brokers are going to take their fees out of it, so that's going to ratchet up the cost of it to 0.6 times 22%. 0.4 times 6.75 plus 0.6 times 22% to 15.9%. So what's happening here is that as we use more money, as we need more money to do the things that we do, the cost of that money that we need, that we get to do these things, went from 12.6% to 13.5% to 22%, or I'm 22%, to 15.9%, yeah. So what we have to do is then compare where these breakpoints are. Where are these breakpoints? Where does the cost of capital jump? And it does jump. Okay, that's great. But now let's look at our investment projects. When does the last project give us less of a return than it costs us to do it? That's what we do on Wednesday. Because if a project or any part of a project has a return that's less than the money that we have to use for it, the cost of the money for it, this one obviously, see this last project? The cost of that money is way above that project's return, so we say no to that one. The problem is that this one starts out better than the cost of the money in terms of the return on investment, but by the time we're finished with it, the money costs more than the project's giving us. So we reject that project too. We say no. We can't do it. So in this case, the way I drew this graph, that's the only project that we would ever take on. So we would just stop there. Okay, well, we're going to use money, borrow cheap money, and use income that we've got. Okay, but the project will still be spending money after that cheap money, so we'll borrow from the bank some more at the higher rate. But after that, we just stop. We don't do any more projects. That's the subject of the next lecture. We're going to do one together in class. You're going to sit together in little groups if you want, and we'll just go through a whole project analysis and see what company projects we will take on and what we won't. That's all I have for you. I thank you.